Good morning, Sean Callanan, the sports geek. Each week he joins us to talk sport, the digital world, online, and how not to get in trouble too. G'day, Sean. How are you?
G'day, Frank. Good, thanks. Happy Easter.
And to you, sport in the digital realm, it's not been a pleasant week for some, and it's sort of a cautionary tale of what can go wrong if you do not use Twitter, Facebook, and other means of social media for good instead of evil.
Yeah, definitely. And in this case, we're talking about the problems that Ben Pollis, the CEO of Energy Watch and Freedom SEO, found himself in, making comments, racist comments on Facebook, and he was exposed. And the unfortunate thing from a sports point of view is three Melbourne sports teams have lost a major sponsor or a big partner to them. So yeah, it's tough for those Melbourne clubs, because most sponsors are doing it to get the brand awareness and association with the clubs, and in this case, the sponsor's the one that's mucked up. Normally, we might see sponsors leaving clubs because players have misbehaved, whether it be out on the town or on social media. But in this case, Ben Pollis has made a few comments on Facebook that were terribly offensive, and we've only seen some of them in the papers. Yeah, what you've got to realise, and we've said it time and time again, anything you say on Facebook's not private.
Because that was the amazing thing. When I heard him speak, or at least I heard a comment that was published that was attributed to him, saying he thought his comments were only for private consumption, not that makes them okay, because he put them on Facebook, I thought, you really are as thick as five-day-old porridge. If you think that posting on Facebook is an act of a private exchange, where have you been hiding?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can lock down your privacy settings as much as you like. So you can say, I only want my friends to see this, or I only want particular friends to see this. But there's nothing stopping that friend. And I think this is the case here for Ben Pollis. If I'm offended, why can't I can quite easily screenshot it and send it to the Herald Sun.
So that means taking a photo of your screen?
Just taking a photo of your screen and away it goes. So, you know, your security settings and your privacy settings are only as strong as the trust you have with your friends. And if you're going to make silly comments in that space, you're pretty thick. And the thing is, as people interact with that content, Facebook automatically makes it viral. So one point that I'm always aware of, and I teach both my kids and my clients, especially from an athlete point of view, if you like something, that's not, you know, it can be twisted to be an endorsement of that thing. So, you know, have the Herald Sun got access to all those things? Potentially they could be publishing people who liked Ben Pollis's comments on Facebook, or people who laughed at Ben Pollis's comments on Facebook.
So the way you respond to other people's postings also becomes, a real issue for you.
And that's probably where it got highlighted. If one of his mates said, oh, you know, you're an idiot, and replied to it, then all of their friends would have seen that post. So that's where it's not private. I mean, you've got to be very careful. I think Ricky Nixon and Dermot Burton got themselves caught up in it just a month or so ago doing the same thing. Commenting on, thinking it's private. No, everyone else who's your friend and your friend's friends may see those comments.
And so, the phrase or the word friend is a very loose term in the digital world, particularly when it comes to Facebook.
Pretty much, yeah. It's the 7 degrees of separation. You only need one like and it can be passed on. So, yeah, very silly boy. I mean, I think we went back to Jonathan Simpson's social media policy, which is don't be we can insert whatever colloquial term you want to use there.
A wally.
Exactly. Don't be a wally on social media. You won't get in trouble. So, yeah, that's pretty much at the fold of Ben Pollis. But, yeah, very, very hard on all the Melbourne teams. You know, they would have had morality clauses in place, you know, that were mutual to sort of protect them both. But, I don't like their chances of getting too much of that Energy Watch money as people probably leaving their custom in droves.
You work closely with sports people across a whole range of sectors, whether it's in the AFL, in the States as well, with American sports clubs. Will they shy away from the use of social media when these sorts of events happen? Or is it just a case that they need to be trained on how better to use it?
Yes. I mean, I guess in the case of the sporting clubs, they actually had to, announcing the termination of the contract, because it was so viral and it was so being talked about on all the platforms, they really had to go and put it out on those platforms. And it actually worked to their quite effectively for them, because they Melbourne put it out on Facebook and all their fans, you know, showed their support and showed their, you know, by liking the comment and saying, yes, you're doing the right thing. So you've really got to get out there and even if it is bad news, you know, not embrace it, but get it out there. Then communicate with all your fans that you're both sympathising with them and, you know, completely agreeing with them in this case. But there is a tendency to go, oh, we have got some bad news. Well, it's like, well, how can we best push it out? Make sure we've done our thing, but also sort of control the message, which does make it very tough.
Sean Callan and Sports Geek is talking sport and the digital world with us, as he does each Saturday here on Grandstand Breakfast. The other side of this, though, would have been, I guess, the empowering nature of social media and in relation to the Jason Mifsud AFL story and the ability for fans who, in other ways, probably don't have their voices heard because the media is pretty locked down, other than through talkback, but even that's an unequal contest in a way, making their feelings quite clearly known about the way the AFL has handled this whole Jason Mifsud Melbourne Football Club situation, yep, which has gone on and on.
Well, I think it just gives a new light to, I guess, the PR and the spin of media. We saw AFL CEO Andrew Demetriou come out, and he was pretty strong and did the rounds with all the radio stations and pretty much hammered down his point. He wasn't taking talkback callers. He was pretty much giving the line. But in a social media space, people can quite easily quickly get on board and just call that out. And they can say, well, look, we want to have our say. They sort of see it for maybe what it is at some point. And have that conversation. And
so it's a lot harder these days for people in positions of power to drive a singular agenda without being questioned, even if they're not in the traditional media taking any comments or listening to callers. They will find it very difficult for that singular message to dominate the space.
Well, definitely. And, you know, the AFL in this case were trying to control the message to a certain degree you know, keep it directed on the particular mediums they wanted. But for the Mifsud case, there was a hashtag that was trending. I think it was things that Jason Mifsud would say. And people were just having a little bit of fun with it. So more people would have actually found out about the story, you know, from about 7 o'clock through to about 10 o'clock because people were having fun with that. And so it becomes a meme in its own right. And it's sort of their way of thumbing to the establishment. You know, we want to have our say and, you know, this is all this smells a little bit bad. So yeah, it is something that, you know, organisations like the AFL or sponsors or clubs have to be aware of, that if the fans want to have their say, it only takes a few rallying cries. The way we sort of describe it is, if we look at the MCG and we look at the two cheer squads, there'll be about 300 or 400 people in that cheer squad, and they can get a whole 100,000 people up and about and cheering. And so you only need that digital cheer squad, you know, online to get that same effect. So, you know, a small few, influential few can get others joining in and can really make that, I guess, that meme travel further than it potentially would otherwise.
You can no longer own the news the way you used to.
Exactly, pretty much.
It's probably a good thing. Now, have you got a podium for us this week, 3-2-1?
Well, yeah, we have Bells Beach, absolute ripper final yesterday between Mick Fanning and Kelly Slater. So, yep, we've given Mick Fanning the bronze medal. Mick underscore Fanning does some great work, does some good work on Instagram, mfano on Instagram. Sally Fitz, Sally underscore Fitz, I believe. Sally Fitz does a great job, always seems to be replying to fans anytime she's out of the water. So she's doing,
she whips her phone out of the wetsuit.
Whips her phone out, yeah. She must have a waterproof iPhone cover. And unfortunately, Kelly Slade didn't win yesterday. Some amazing surfing, but as we've spoken about before, he even replies to starstruck rugby players. So does a great job. So Kelly Slater gets the podium finish for today.
He's a great man on the waves and also when it gets to being in touch with the fans. And he pulled off that perfect 10 yesterday with that 360 move that looks like he stole from Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the photos, unbelievable.
Terrific photos. I think it was Wayne Lubdy from the Herald Sun was tweeting some absolutely fantastic photos from Bells yesterday.
Yeah, Lubdy, he nailed it. There's no doubt about it. Good on you, Sean. Thanks for talking to us. We'll catch you again next week.
Cheers, Francis.
Sean Callan and you, the Sports Geek. Search him out on Twitter. Remember people, remind people your hashtag. Or your Twitter handle, sorry.
Oh, DigiSport is a hashtag that I would be using.
Yes.
Sean Callan on Twitter or Sports Geek HQ.